الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تعالى في القران المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله ورسوله فإن تولوا فإن الله لا يحب الكافرين قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على أئمة من القريش أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. Throughout the world, presently, Palestine, Afghanistan, Somalia, Bosnia, Kashmir, Burma, India, Muslims have been harassed. And Muslims are being put under undue duress. This is a plot by the Western world to try to exterminate Muslim influence over the world. However, what we should make dua for is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen the iman of these people who are experiencing these difficulties. Wherever Muslims are being harassed, killed, martyred, murdered, raped, looted, it is pathetic, it is saddening, depressing. But we should worry about one point also. Why those circumstances are coming? And those circumstances are coming there. Can those circumstances come to us? Respected elders, supposing that you are seeing it about the conditions of those people in these countries which I have mentioned. Externally, do they look Muslim? Internally, are they Muslims? That is why I am saying and pleading that we must make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them strong iman. When they have strong iman, they have strong Islam. They will look like Muslims, Allah ta'ala's aid will come. When we do not even look like Muslims, feel like Muslims, behave like Muslims, practice like Muslims, follow the sunnah as Muslims are supposed to be doing, then how can the help of Allah ta'ala come? When the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not come, the mercy of Allah ta'ala does not come, then difficulty has to come. On one side we are grieved and we are sorrowful about the pathetic conditions, but we have to go and try to make reason why those conditions are coming. Because everything is related in the Quran and Hadith, why conditions come. We were discussing about Hadith, which will continue. I mentioned to you, we get authentic hadiths, and then we get fabricated hadiths. Some people say that a particular Nabi, he went to the seashore and he took out his huge sword, he swung it around and he threw it into the ocean. And that is why the fish has got a slip. And that is why the fish is halal. Now that is absolutely nonsense and fabrication and cooked up version. There is no such thing. How does this result? Question is posed that why fish you do not slaughter, and why fish is halal, and why the goat you have to slaughter. So when you don't know the answer, you must fabricate something. Where is the answer? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared the fish is halal and the goat you have to slaughter,
today we know the rationale behind it, we know the logic behind it. Then, in the gold vascular system, in the blood system of the gold, etc., you have the blood and the meat together. Whereas in the fish, in the vascular system of the fish, the blood system is separated from the muscular system. When a person slaughters the goat, he extracts the blood. Because consumption of blood is not permissible. So when the blood flows out, you have removed the blood, the meat is left, the meat is permissible to eat. And why you have to recite Bismillah and take the life of the goat? You are taking permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are taking the life of the animal, and that is why you recite the tasbiyah and take the life. And upon which the tasbiyah is not recited, you have not taken permission to eat that meat, to take that life, therefore that meat is haram for you. Understand Sharia from that angle. And the fish, because these blood systems are separate, therefore you do not have to make halal, you do not have to extract the blood. But the fish that is floating and bloated and gloated, that fish is not permissible to eat because it has died in the water. Why? Because the blood has now congealed, and consumption of congealed blood is not permissible. The people say, no, it is sunnah to eat ice. So where did they get that from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows best. Where did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam eat ice? And then we will start eating ice now. Or you must not cut nails in the evening. It is against the sunnah to cut nails in the evening. That also a fabrication. That the old ladies invented. Because there was no light, the youngsters were cutting nails in the night, it's difficult, you don't know where the nails are going. So they come up with a bento, fatwa decision, don't cut nails in the night, it is against the sunnah. Anything that does not appeal to the intelligence or you cannot understand does not make it wrong. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, the famous hadith about the fly, when it falls into your container, then the wing that is left outside, you pick it up and you dip it inside, that is the antidote. So the person who cannot understand this, he says, no, that's a fabrication. When a hadith has been recorded in an authentic book, then we will accept it as true, valid, authentic, and our iman will be behind it. Irrespective of whether our so-called Western education does not see sense in it. As long as we can prove that that hadith is authentic, then we will accept it. But today what we should learn, that there are six famous hadith books. Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawud, and Nasa'i. Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. If a hadith is coming from there, know that it is authentic, it is reliable, we should accept it. Other hadith kitab, inshallah, I will mention in some other discussion. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala from the Bayit, they adhere to the sayings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are certain people who say, no, that you must not follow the hadith. Hadith was protected. No, Sahaba followed it after the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon the device of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the question arose that who should be Khalif? In Badr Sa'idah, in Safifa Sa'idah, there was a gathering of the Muhajirin and Ansar. What view was there should be one leader from the Muhajir and one leader from the Ansar? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who came there said no, that the leader should be Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he is the one Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed as Imam. And practically 18 salat he led in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is the one who has got the most auspicious privilege of being the companion of the king during the time of Hijrah. So he should be the imam. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala presented the hadith al-a'immatu min al-Quraysh, that the imam, that the leader, the caliph, he should be from amongst the Quraysh. The sahaba unanimously accepted that decision. If they did not accept hadith, then they should have rejected it. But they unanimously, history records it, they accepted it, and they made obedience to it, and they brought it, and implemented it. Again, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who rescued the situation and carried the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and stated that the Nabi is buried where he passes away. Sahaba immediately upon the statement of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, yes, this is correct, and they accepted it. Sahaba did not reject hadith, and today you get the 20th century modern scholar stuffed up with pride and arrogance and stupidity trying to reject hadith and question the authenticness of hadith. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu proceeded from Madinah to Munawwara in his khilafah. He went to Syria. When he was about to enter Syria, then the news reached him that in that particular place he was going to, there was an epidemic. There was an epidemic. So he called a mashwara. He asked Sahaba, what must we do? Must we go to that place? There is an epidemic there, raging. Or must we go back to Madinah? He called the Muhajirin and Ansar together and he discussed it. There were difference of opinion. Some said no, that you should go there. Some said no, you should go back to Madinah. Then he called the Ansar separately and asked them. He called the Muhajirin separately and asked them. Still there was difference of opinion. Then he called those Sahaba who were present in the conquest of Mecca and he discussed with them. They also had differences of opinion. Some said go, some said do not go. When he decided to bring back to Madinah, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala disagreed. They stopped for a while. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala said, he asked, what is the discussion? They informed him, this is an epidemic. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala wants to know, must he go towards that place or go back to Madinah? Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala said, I have heard a hadith from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning epidemic. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, state that hadith. You are reliable, trustworthy. You state the hadith. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala said, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when there is an epidemic and you are in that area, when there is an epidemic and you are in that area, do not go out of that area for fear of your life. Do not go out of that area. And when there is an epidemic in a particular area, do not go inside that area. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that is sufficient. We will now proceed back to Madinah. Saying of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without question, accepted by Sahaba, they became the rulers of the world. Because they were obedient to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his khilafah, he had a peace treaty, a pact with the Romans. So Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to take his troops and he proceeded with his troops, physically proceeded with his troops towards the border of the Roman Empire. When you reach the border of the Roman Empire, one Sahabi came and he began to shout, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, what are you doing? Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala asked him, what is the matter? Said, I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that when there is a pact between you and someone else, when there is an agreement between you and someone else, then you must fulfill that agreement to the letter. There has been an agreement between the Muslims and the Romans that there will be no war. That there will be no war. So fulfill that. Hazrat Badiyah رضي الله تعالى who said that if we are proceeding, we have proceeded right up to the border of the Roman Empire, that means this is not conducive to the agreement of the clauses in the pact, we will go back. All the journey, one hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is accepted it, and he says we will go back to Madinah al-Munawwarah, and they physically moved back to Madinah al-Munawwarah and waited when the time when the pact, the day, the duration day of the pact expired. Then they proceeded into the Roman Empire. That is why they were successful. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it very clearly that no one can be a true Muslim until he subjugates his life to what I have brought. Meaning whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought, we will subjugate our life to that. We will bring our life in accordance to that. Whether it be eating, walking, talking, whether it be transactional dealing, whether it be promises and pledges, whether it be our external or our internal, we should bring it in accordance and in conformity to what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us. It is famous during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His troops were on battle. His army was raging war. No success. Because Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu investigated and then they came to know that they have left out the sunnah of this war. We have heard this repeatedly. But what is the significance behind it? What is the meaning behind it? That success in the war, success and victory against the enemy, does not lie in the arms and the ammunition, does not lie whether the superpower it would be, does not lie whether broken Russia it would be, does not lie whether I have got gun missiles, does not lie whether I have got the atom bomb or the hydrogen bomb, does not lie whether I have got these Western castles or my story. Success does not lie there. Achievement does not lie there. But victory lies in following the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the help will come. So they the kuffar, what they have done? They are penetrating into Kuwait and sitting tight there. And they have got puppet regimes all over the Hijaz in the Arab Peninsula. Motivated and monitored and tutored by the kuffar west. All against the Muslims. When the Iraqis took over Kuwait, then UN within a few hours were passing resolutions upon resolutions against the Iraqis. But today when the Muslims are suffering and when they are brutally butchered and massacred by the Turks in Bosnia, then the UN does not matter an iron. Why? Because the UN is preserved by the USA, and the USA is controlled by the Zionist Jews. And these people are anti us, and they are against us. We should realize how we can fight against them. We do not have to bring up rifles to fight against them. We have to implement the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our life, in the family life, so we'll be fighting automatically against those people. And wherever those Muslims are, if they bring their lives in accordance with the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most surely descend there. Otherwise there will be problems, turmoil, difficulty, and Muslims' lives will be lost in numerous numbers. So to recap, hadith that are authentic, reliable, must be acted upon without question whether we understand it, comprehend it or not. Yes, they are fabricated and cooked up hadiths to suit some whims and fancies or to promote some ideas. Those have to be separated and not acted upon. And the rejecters of hadith are the rejecters of sunnah. The rejecters of hadith are the deniers of the way of life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rejecters of the hadith are the rejecters of the divinity of the sayings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying a divine protection. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand it. Understanding means we must try to do, then practice it to our maximum. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to be steadfast of it.